sitting and you're wondering, why did my mum and dad, on a day like this, pack the car and insist that I would come along? For all that you have heard has no appeal to you, and the simple reason is that you're not saved. And if you've zoned out, and if all that has been said today has been just perhaps an intrusion upon what you would rather do on a lovely day like this, I just want you for the next few moments to pay attention to a message that could radically change your life, and this evening could prove to be the most valuable and vital day of your life. I might be speaking to someone this evening that is older, that is not aware of the gospel, but I think for the most part, I'm speaking to boys and girls who, like me, sat under its sound. So I want to turn your attention to the Gospel of Luke, first of all, and chapter 23. Luke's Gospel and chapter 23. We're beginning our reading in verse number 39, Luke chapter 23 and verse 39. Verse 33 is that golden text of the gospel. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. 39, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. Turning, please, to the book of Hebrews for two short readings. The book of Hebrews in chapter 10. And here we read concerning the Lord Jesus again. Verse 11. And every priest standeth daily, ministering an offering, oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. And turning back a few pages to chapter 7. Chapter 7. And speaking of our Lord Jesus at the end of verse 23, it says that he continueth ever. And the reason for that is that he has an unchangeable or an untransferable priesthood. Verse 25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Now there are some things that we do not require the Bible to teach us. And even though you are young, I'm sure that as you listen to the news and as you Google those pages that will give you information as to the world events, and as you listen to your mum and dad chat, and as we converse one with the other, it is constantly the subject of the great mess that our world is in. I say again, we do not really need to turn to the Bible to discover how messed up our world is today. We look across our world and we see trouble in almost every country. We see bitterness and hatred. We see war. We see and hear of those who are in sickness. We think of these diseases that spread in very many countries around the world. All is not well with our world. And if you've done a little bit of history, you will discover that from time to time throughout history, there have arisen women and there have arisen men who have had ideas as to how they could improve this world, as to how they could make things better. And there have been those, and they have brought us all a benefit.
There have been those, and they have made great advancement in medicine so that it's possible for you and I to be alive. Well, I'm not sure about you, but certainly me. I'm absolutely indebted to those who have made great advancements. Had it not been for the development of antibiotics and the modern means of dealing with people with serious diseases, I would not be here. And so people have been able to make such advancements in this world, and yet the world is no better today. We are no closer to finding the answers. Indeed, our world is becoming more dangerous, more messed up. And the question out there is, who has the answer? While we do not need the Bible to see the mess our world is in, we do need the Bible to find the answer to the question, why is it like this? And is there an answer? And if there is, who can bring us that answer? I want to speak to you about the uniqueness of Jesus Christ. In our world today, there are many who stand forward with their philosophies and with their religions, and they offer answers to our deepest need. There is only one who can answer the need of your heart, and that is Jesus Christ. And we are this evening going to consider what the Bible brings to us as to the uniqueness of the Lord Jesus and why you need Him if you are still in your sins. You see, as we consider what the Bible says is really the purpose of this world and the fact that God created it for a purpose, for that is something that science has discovered, that all around us, though they deny God, there is a design. Things have a purpose in life. You have a purpose, and all the parts of your body have a purpose. What is the purpose for planet Earth? Here we are. I don't know if you've ever looked at that picture taken on the 14th of February, 1990, looking back towards the planet that sent it out into outer space on the very edges of the solar system. Voyager turned its lens back towards Earth, and there it was. A quarter of a pixel of a large frame photograph, suspended on a sunbeam, quarter of a pixel size in the vastness of space, is the pale blue dot. That's Earth. That's us. And from out there, we are nothing, and yet we know that this world has a purpose. What is the purpose? Why am I here? Looking into the eyes of little boys and girls, perhaps an older friend, and you ask yourself, what is the reason for my existence? Why am I here? The Bible has the answers. The answers are very simple. God made man to live. God made man to have dominion over this world, to have it under His control, to have it for His benefit, to develop it for God. God made man ultimately and basically. God made man to know God. And yet what do we find? Because of sin, all men die. Because of sin, all men and women and boys and girls will ultimately lead lives of defeat, of disappointment. Because of sin. And without an answer for sin, all men and women will be damned. I've come to appreciate that it's almost impossible to visit a hall in these parts without the required two-way chart behind. You take a look at it over my shoulder. You take a look at that broad path. You take a look at that pillar of death. And you consider that if you continue on that pathway, The direction of sin that takes us down that broad road that began with Adam and has been broadening and broadening and broadening until today it is over 7 billion wide. And because of one man's sin, every last one of us are born in sin and shapen in iniquity, and we are on a road that is leading down to damnation. This is the common lot of mankind. And this is why you as a child here today, this is why you as an adult in your sins need the Savior. For there is only one who can stand in and can stop that tide. There's only one who can change that direction. There is only one who can save your soul. And that is the unique one that we preach in the gospel. Man was made to live, but without Christ, man will die. Man was made to conquer, but without Christ, man will be in defeat and disappointment. Man was made to know God, but without Christ, we will live and die and be in the dark for an endless eternity. And that is what sets Christ forth as the utterly unique one that He is. But do not take that from me, take that from the Word of God. Let's think of what the Bible says about the Lord Jesus and His uniqueness. We have read on three occasions when it has said of Him, in contrast to all of us, but this man. I want to consider the Lord Jesus, the uniqueness of His life. For He lived a life that you and I could never live. And it is on the basis of that life that we can have hope and we can hear the message of salvation because of the uniqueness of Jesus Christ in His life. I want to consider the uniqueness of Christ in His death. But this man, what does it say about His death? An amazing thing to think, as we have been considering, that there was one who alone was worthy to live and He died. The only one that had the power to avoid death, He willingly went to it. And the only one who had the capacity to sustain Himself on a cross of torture, on that tree of shame, He yielded His life. He embraced death. Oh, the uniqueness of Christ in His death. I want to speak to you about the uniqueness of Jesus Christ in His resurrection. And in these three views we see the wonder of God's salvation, the way to heaven. The way where a boy or a girl or an older friend in this gathering this evening as we draw these considerations of the Bible to a conclusion, just around the cross again and around the person of Jesus Christ. And hold forth again the way of life as a lifeline to a drowning soul. That you can leave this building rejoicing in the Christ that your mother rejoices in. And rejoicing in the Savior that your father rejoices in. And enjoying the things of God that we enjoy. I tell you, to live without Christ is meaningless, whatever you achieve in life. For what shall it profit a man? What shall it profit a woman? What shall it be to a boy or a girl to rise up and gain the whole world and lose your soul? Utter tragedy to be lost forever. As we consider the life of the Lord Jesus, it is a wonderful thing to consider. Every life that God has looked at in this world has been a life of sin, of rebellion. Even in our childhood, we rebel. I remember times whenever I argued with God from my very own bedroom. There was never a time that I denied anything that's found in this Bible. I knew it to be true. I could repeat many of the verses. They were written in my mind. But I had my arguments with God. And there's that within all of our hearts. It basically is rebellion. Because we want to be God. That is the essence of sin. I don't know if you've ever boiled anything down until all the liquid is away and you're just left with the solids. And if you boil sin down, whatever type of sin it is, you're left with this basic thing left, that you and I want to be God. You and I want to decide what's right and what's not. You and I really basically, in our fallen hearts, want to rise up against the God of heaven. That is sin. And yet there was a man in this world who was different. Listen to the voice of one who hung beside him there that day at Calvary. But this man has done not one thing out of place. I don't know about you, whether you're what they like to call today OCD, you've got everything just in its appropriate place. Or maybe you're more like me, when everything is just everywhere. It matters not, but whatever way we are, whatever our character is, there is not one of us could ever match up to this. That in the eyes of God, as well as living before men, here is one who he never did amiss. There was nothing in his life out of place. Not measured by the standards of men. Here was a man, and this was his estimation. But measured against the eye of God, for he did no sin. He knew no sin in him. Is no sin at all. This is a man who lived on earth. Who ate our food and walked the streets of this world and felt what tiredness was. He felt the heat of the sun. He knew what awkward people were and all the various things of life that bring the worst out in us. He was right there, and it only brought the best. It brought forth glory, the glory of a perfect life. I'll never forget growing up as a child and back home in Ulster. We had this old record player. That kind of dates me, I know, but it was a massive thing, more like a piece of furniture. And whenever you switched it on, I used to watch in the back of it, and the valves would all light up. I'm really dating myself now. And the turntable, I remember getting it going. The early years, I wasn't allowed near it because of how fragile the little needle was. But we had an LP. I've looked for it long since. I can't find it. But etched within my heart was listening to that and listening to these words. Some say he's just a prophet. Others say he's just a man. Some say he's just a teacher doing good throughout the land. But those who heard the master say, "Peace be still," one stormy day, turned to each other, and you could hear them say, "There's something that's different about him. There's something that's different about him." For his voice can calm the angry, raging sea. There's something that's different about him. For his touch has saved a sinful soul like me. And although I can't explain, my life's different since he came. There's something different about the man whose name is Jesus. And praise God there is. Oh, unique in his life. A perfect, holy man who lived a life I could not live. To die a death I could not die. Let's come to consider the uniqueness of Christ and his death. It is the life of Christ that makes him the only one capable, suitable to die for you and me. Because this is God's way. He has been teaching us all the way through. Just as boys and girls play with the Monopoly and they have their houses and they have their hotels and they buy and trade and then they grow up and they do it in the real world and they buy and sell, so in the Old Testament God had his toy money. What was it? It was the animal sacrifices. It wasn't the real thing. It didn't really do anything. Because those animals could not take the place of a sinner. It was toy money. It was to tell of the time when the real payment would be paid. But what was it? Oh, they came. I deserve to die, but this animal dies for me. And all the time after time, God was teaching them, sin is serious. It brings death. Boys and girls, remember it. Older friends, sin is deadly serious. There is hell to pay for every sin. God was teaching it. Time and time they looked. And that animal that should have been living was dead because of their sin. And that animal, it was examined. There was another principle. Because as they came before God, God did not examine them. Because they were the sinners. They were the ones whose heads were down. I have sinned. God did not examine the man, the woman who brought the sacrifice. The priest examined the sacrifice. And that's what happened at Calvary. The eye of God that finds you and I unclean has rested on his Son. And God has looked into every corner of the life of the Lord Jesus, into his thinking, where we all sin so much, and into everything that he did. And God has found in his Son a perfect life, so that that one who alone is perfect could die for us, take our place. And what a death he died. Listen to what it says about his death. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down. You know, his death was a sacrifice. You say, what does that mean? I've heard preachers preach it. I really do not know what it means. It was a sacrifice. Well, we think of it in normal terms. It was costly. You say, well, what was that cost paying? If it was costly, why go to all that expense? Dear friend, it was the price of salvation. Whose price was paid by its cost? It was a sacrifice. It was a sinless sacrifice. For here we have been thinking as one who has done nothing out of place. And there upon the cross, a sinless, perfect man gives himself. It was a single sacrifice. Again, we read this man, after he had offered one sacrifice. Praise God. There is only one sacrifice that is required. We do not have to offer today. There is no continual offering for sin. But Christ upon the cross has paid sufficient once and for all time, that all may be saved. I am glad I can stand here today and preach that there is salvation for the world, because that's what the Bible says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so we consider what a death, unique in his death. But he is, of course, unique in his resurrection. There were many that were raised, who died again. But this passage is teaching us that the Lord Jesus was raised never to die again. And in that, he is able, says the Bible, to save to the uttermost those who come unto God through him. The one who is unique in his life and unique in his death is unique in his resurrection. He is exalted today as we preach, exalted in heaven. And because he is there exalted, he can save you as he has saved me. You say, how does that work? Well, if the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, had visited our world, walked through this world and gone back to heaven, there was nothing to stop him, for he was worthy of heaven. But the Lord Jesus did not seek to go back to heaven on his own worth alone. He was going back as my representative. He was going back, and if he were not accepted, I would not be accepted, because he was going back for me. That's why he came. He came to this world, and I can say personally, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. He came to that cross for me, and he went back. And is heaven going to open? If he was just going back on his own merit, of course the door of heaven would open. But he's going back for me. And this is what we watch for. Does heaven receive him now? He's going back for a sinner like me. He has lived that perfect life, unique in his life. He is utterly unique in his death, for he has offered himself as one single sin offering that God has been satisfied with. The price of sin is paid in full. There's nothing for you to do. There's nothing you can do, for Jesus paid it all. And now, on the other side of death, having torn death of its power forever, he has gone back up and in and is seated in the right hand of God's majesty on high. And that is why I know I can never be in hell, because I have trusted in him. And he is accepted for me. He is able to save me right to the end of the road. You take a look at that two-way chart again, just as we pray and conclude this conference for today. And you say, I want my road to end in heaven. He can do it, for he's already there. And he's already there as the sinner's savior. For on the cross, he became the sinner's substitute. He took my sin. He died for me. You say, how do I get it? How can I get from that broad road? How can I get off this continual conveyor belt that leads man down to death, that leads me down to disappointment and defeat and damnation? How can I get off the continuous conveyor that goes day after day, down and down and down? Those that come to God by him. Are you prepared tonight to come to God through the Lord Jesus, to simply trust in him, the only one who can be your Savior? Oh, Jesus, I will trust thee. Trust thee with my soul. Guilty, yes, lost I am, and helpless, but thou alone can make me whole. There's none in heaven nor on earth like thee. He is the unequaled, unique Christ. Thou hast died for sinners. Therefore, Lord, for me, trust him, even now, while we pray. Our Father, we come to thee again with joy in our hearts as we consider that unique one, this man who has done nothing amiss. Yet we remember as we pray that there were multitudes who said, not this man, but. And Father, for many, it has been other than Barabbas. It has been the pleasures of this world. It has been some companion. They have said, not this man, but. And we know that Barabbas was a robber. And we know that whatever else stands in the way of Christ will rob a child and older friend of salvation. Oh, that they would be wise and understand that their only hope for eternity is found in thy Son, Jesus Christ. Bless our gathering. Much has been said. But just now we pray for those who are not saved. May they, as they leave this building, rejoice in the knowledge of sins forgiven, having turned from their sin to Christ, and through Christ coming to know thee. Bless